Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide, plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
What's going on? Breaking news, everybody. We're going to talk about this before we get into the daily pod, but Lane Johnson has reportedly suffered a Lisfranc injury in his foot. We all saw him leave the field during the Eagles' win over the Lions, went to the locker room, didn't return, didn't see him in the locker room afterwards, and now we know why. It's a foot injury that is expected to sideline him 4 to 6 weeks, and he could be headed to injured reserve. So, a bunch of different thoughts on this. First, just another big blow to the offensive line. You know, we talk in the daily pod, and we've talked about it a ton, about how one of the main reasons the offense is struggling is because of the offensive line and its inability, not that it's their fault, but just the inability of the offensive line to stay healthy. We talked about how Saquon would take a step back this year after all those touches last year. Obviously, the wear and tear on the offensive line's body has on the offensive lineman's body has really, really hurt them. Landon's been hurt. Cam's been hurt. Mailata, I'm shocked he hasn't missed a game. It feels like he's dealing with all types of things. Lane has missed a ton of time and now is going to miss a decent portion of the rest of the season. I mean, they've played 10 games. They'll play 17. He's probably going to miss 5, so he'll miss. I mean, there's a shot he doesn't play again until the playoffs. Maybe that Bills game is potentially a chance for him to return, but just the offensive line continuity is just taking a massive, massive hit this season. And as a result, it's been really hard for them to play on offense. But as much as losing any offensive lineman really hurts, we know losing one lineman in particular really hurts, and that is Lane Johnson. The numbers speak for themselves. When Lane Johnson is not on the field, the offense struggles to a large degree, and they struggle to win. I know, you know, quarterback win-loss is really the only win-loss we keep, but if you look at it, when Lane's not out there, they struggle. Now, last year, when Lane went out, they didn't struggle. They won every game where Lane was out. And you look at that stretch that Fred Johnson played, he played pretty well. And Fred Johnson will be, you know, assuming, I'm almost positive, in fact, we can just say it, Fred Johnson is going to be the guy that starts in Lane's place. So, yeah, last year they were able to do it without Lane. I guess if there's one positive you want to look at with the numbers, with how much they struggle without him, it is that a lot of those are old, right? Like, so more recently, they've been pretty good when Lane has not been in there. So that is actually one thing to hang your hat on. But Lane's a really big loss, really big loss. Like, no question about it. We will see in terms of how long he actually is out. My advice to the Eagles would be, honestly, don't play this guy until the playoffs. Like, I get maybe he needs one game to kind of ramp up and get back up to speed. But if they can win without him and the Lions game is winnable, look, they're not winning with their offense right now anyway. Now, with Lane out, maybe their offense gets even worse. And, you know, unfortunately, it probably will. But if you can get Lane to 100% or as close as he can be for that final playoff run, then that would be absolutely huge. So my guess is we don't see Lane much at all in the rest of the regular season, and you hope that he can be 100% or close to it for the playoffs. So in the meantime, Fred Johnson steps in. Like I said, I thought he played pretty well last year. If you remember, he went up against a pretty tough stretch of edge rushers and played well. Not really going to be the case over the next few weeks. The Cowboys, the Bears, Chargers, I think it's Washington after that. Maybe it's the Raiders actually, but just like they just went through a stretch of really tough edge rushers. Micah Parsons, Aiden Hutchinson, the Giants defensive line, the Vikings defensive line. So, you know, if they're not, it's a good thing Lane got hurt, obviously, but if there was a timing for it, at least now they got through that stretch. So it'll be Fred Johnson out there. Now, another part of Fred Johnson going down, Lane Johnson going down, is they've loved that six-man offensive line set. And now, Fred with as the starter means Matt Pryor steps in. They could potentially try like Willie Lampkin. They could try Drew Kendall. But the fact it's been Pryor and he's the biggest of all of them, it's probably who will be out there now. And so that six-man line takes a hit too. So just a really, really tough blow for this offensive line for the next 6 weeks. We're going to hear from Nick Sirianni later today. I'll have everything he has to say about it in the daily feed for you guys tomorrow. But the other part of this too is you wonder how many games Lane has left at this point. We've talked throughout the season about how it sounds like he could retire at the end of the year. And now his body's just inability to stay healthy. If they win the Super Bowl, if they go on a deep run, I don't know, man. I think we could be counting down the days or the games, and I think Lane could be gone and retire at the end of the season, and then they're tasked with finding his replacement. I don't think Fred Johnson will be the long-term replacement. They'll draft somebody. They'll trade for somebody. But a foot injury at this age, when you've already struggled to stay healthy, that's a really, really tough blow. So hopefully the rehab goes well. Hopefully he can stay healthy. But this feels like the beginning of the end of Lane's career. And hopefully it's not the beginning end of the Eagles season, because as you can hear in the daily pod that we're about to play, I think there's a good chance they're going to go to the Super Bowl. And getting a healthy Lane back to the playoffs would really, really help with that. So that's the emergency news. Had to talk to you guys about it before the daily went up. But go out, try to enjoy your day, enjoy the daily pod, and I'll talk to you on the other side of the Go Birds theme.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
Hmm.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide, plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Monday, November 17th, and this is your daily Go Birds Morning Update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And it's a victory Monday, as it normally is when we're discussing the Philadelphia Eagles. And, you know, we've talked about this a little bit on the podcast here and there with James and, you know, whatever guests might be on. It's so interesting covering and following this team, right? And I guess I come at it from a perspective of a media member to an extent, but even for you, it must be weird to just think about this team, right? Because there is no question, and we talked about it on the postgame pod last night, that a lot of the initial reaction and emotion it kind of felt from that game was, man, the offense was bad. During the game, a lot of frustration about how bad the offense was. After the game, a lot of, you know, Nick's not good enough, Petullo's not good enough. And it's probably true, not about Nick and Petullo, but about the offense. The offense has been bad the last 2 weeks. The offense this year, now 10 games into the season, is nowhere near what it needs to be and what it should be, right? But, you know, when I was at the gym this morning, and this is a rare instance where I'm recording the daily pod, like on the day of the pod, wanted to give the postgame pod some time to breathe. You know, I was at the gym this morning and I was thinking, there are going to be times where this Eagles team is not 24-3 in their last 27 games, when they're not defending Super Bowl champions, where they don't win almost every primetime game. So it's something I, you know, struggle within myself, and I'd imagine you do too, on how to feel. It truly is, like, I'd imagine following or covering Alabama or the Patriots when they were great, just a level of winning that almost makes you numb to the winning. It truly is with this team no longer about do they win, because they win all the time. They win like at an 80% clip, it feels like. Again, 24-3 in their last 27 games. That's absurd. The NFL is built to prevent things like that. The Eagles are breaking the system. I mean, any sport to go 24-3. Basketball, it's hard to do. Baseball, it's hard to do. Soccer, it's probably borderline impossible to go 24 wins in 27 games. Maybe not impossible, but it's very hard to do. And in football, it's over 2 years, I mean, it's incredible what we're watching. So while I sit here on a Monday morning, and I honestly, the main emotion I have is about the offense. It is about that the offense is not good enough. It is concern about the skill players. And frankly, it's coming to a realization that maybe the skill players on offense are not as good as we think, because I know watching that game last night, one team had the better set of skill players, and it was not the Eagles. It was the Lions. So I feel all of those things. But the other part of it is, man, it's a Monday morning and they won again, and I'm legitimately in my head already thinking about what restaurants and what I'm going to do in San Francisco when they're in the Super Bowl again, because that's probably what they're going to do. They are probably going to go to the Super Bowl. So while we can definitely sit here and talk about the problems they have, 31 other teams would kill to have the Eagles' problems. They would absolutely kill for the main problem to be, yeah, the offense isn't as good as we think, but we win all the time anyway. We're defending Super Bowl champions. So we're going to get into a lot today on the podcast. We're talking about the offense, of course. We'll talk about A.J. Brown, of course. But we're going to lead with the main reason this team is so good right now, the better side of the ball without question. And that's the defensive side of the ball. What an unbelievable performance from the defense. So we're going to start with the defense, get into some of the decision-making Nick made. I'm going to play for you the whole A.J. Brown presser. Because I just think when he talks at this point, everything he says is noteworthy, and it's always an interesting listen. So before we do, though, while there was a little bit of a rant to start the pod, let's talk about and start our day with what we always do. What is on the schedule for today and on Monday, a victory Monday? Nick Sirianni will speak to reporters around 3:15. Always good to hear from Nick. We will see what he has to say about different injuries, about the game last night. He'll probably have some new perspective on the fourth down decision and things like that. And then tonight, the Jordan Mailata Show, live from Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Me, Spike Eskin, Jordan Mailata. And then afterwards, the Players Lounge with me, Ike, Hugh, and I believe it's going to be Cam Jurgens. So interesting day to have Cam Jurgens, as he once again was not able to, or unfortunately, I should say, unable to finish the game. So that's what's on the schedule for today. Nick Sirianni, Jordan Mailata Show, Players Lounge. And as always, it'll all be in your feed if you're not able to listen. Okay. Let's get into the injury report. So the Eagles, once again, did not finish the game with all five of their starting offensive linemen. And when we talk about why the offense struggles, it really might start with the fact their offensive line has been a disaster health-wise this year. I don't think the play has been a disaster. Brett Toth has stepped in and played well. Fred Johnson has stepped in and played well when he's needed to. But they have not had this elite-level offensive line. The talent they have has just not been there all year. So Lane Johnson leaves once again. I think he only played 15 snaps last night. He leaves with a foot injury. We will see what his status is for the Dallas game coming up. But at a certain point, you have to think they're going to want him to take a break. He has not been able to finish games. They had Landon take a bit of a break earlier in the year, and he's been able to come back and play at a high level. And, you know, taking that step back, he was really able to take a few steps forward. So we'll see what happens with Lane Johnson. And then Cam Jurgens also leaves the game, goes into the medical tent, walks off the field. And we'll see. We will see what his status is for the upcoming game. So Lane Johnson and Cam Jurgens, the two injuries to keep an eye on this week. Also, thank you to everybody that made a donation to the book drive on Sunday. Sunday's a good day for donations. I feel like football's in the air. People are feeling good. They win. Once again, working with Treehouse Books, a nonprofit in North Philadelphia, a nonprofit that works on getting books into the hands of children in the area. Being on a fourth grade reading level by the time you're in fourth grade is a really good indicator of success for the future. So they work to get kids, young kids, books so that they can, you know, go on, be big readers, have successful lives. And you guys are helping to make that happen. We're at almost $12,000 in donations. Just absolutely absurd. It's great every year when we get donations, but truly you guys are blowing me away with your generosity. At almost six, that would be, no. I'm not even going to try to do the math, but it's a lot of books. Put it that way. It's a lot of books. So thank you to everybody that has donated. If you do make a donation, and the information is in the podcast description, you could win a Zach Bond signed football, or you could get a shirt designed by Dewani Soraya. The design's coming out, I promise. And it'll be a good bump when it does. So maybe it's a good thing it's you know, we didn't have it day one. But the design will be out soon, and thank you to everybody that has made donations. So let's get going because we got a lot to get into. So Nick Sirianni spoke after the win, and he had a quote that I thought honestly, like, maybe just defines this era of Eagles football. And there's a lot of quotes that you can define this unbelievable era of football with. But Nick Sirianni was asked, and I thought it was a good question. It was by Zach Berman of The Athletic, and it was, you know, you win kind of gritty and grimy and ugly. Is that the best style for this team to win? And here's what Nick had to say.
AJ Brown, you described them as gritty, ugly, whatever word you want to use. Is it a style you like, and is it the style that best fits this team?
Say that one more time, Zach. I'm sorry.
Over the years, you've described these types of wins as, you know, gritty, ugly sometimes. Is it a style that you like? Is it the style that best fits the
win? I'd like to win every game by 30 points. I don't think that's a reality of the NFL. I think we take a lot of pride in, you know, just went winning, period. That's all this thing's about, right? I've been on the other side where you lose and you're sick about it, right? That doesn't mean, again, that you don't go to work like a madman the next day and try to fix everything that made it not a big, whatever, a two-score win or a three-score win. But we take pride. I think the answer really, Zach, is we take pride in winning. I think our guys have this knack of knowing. I think there's, as I watch football today, I feel like I saw a lot of like teams waiting to lose. Our team's waiting to win. Because they know how to win. And there's something to be said for that, you know, of knowing how to win and knowing how to figure out ways to win. Do we want things to be better? Yeah, of course. You're in a constant quest of getting better. And we're going to be, like I said, crazy tomorrow about the things that we're working tomorrow. And I don't care what time the game got over or whatever it is, we're working tomorrow to get better. And that will be our mission. But it is, you sense it in those moments and from the coaches and from the players and from myself, like, we know how to win and we're going to figure out a way to win the game.
I mean, what a quote. And it's so true. Watching football today, I saw a lot of teams waiting to lose. Our team's waiting to win. There is something to be said for that. And that is so true. You think about the other teams in the league. How many teams enter a game every week almost sure they're going to win? Think about the rest of the division. Washington's season, a disaster. They're waiting for a disaster at this point. The Giants never win. They go into games waiting for that moment where it's like, well, we lost again. Dallas, you know, has gone into playoff games and big games saying, when will this thing fall apart? The Buffalo Bills, for as great as they've been, you can see it in big games, especially against the Chiefs. There are moments where it's like, well, the tide's turning on us again because that's what happens to us. The Eagles wait to win. So even when it looks tough and even when it looks like they might blow it, how many people truly, and I will, you know, extend this to the fans, how many people and fans and media members actually sit there and go, yeah, they're going to lose? It is always, how will they find a way to win? Not how will they find a way to lose? And that really is the result of just the dominance they've had. I think the confidence this team has to go and win big games. Think about Detroit last night. Detroit had this game circled on their calendar. They called it a must-win game, and they blew it. They didn't show up to an extent, right? If we were a Detroit Lions podcast, we would be sitting here and saying, this is the performance you turn in after you wait a year and a half to play the team. That's it. That's what you got. 9 points. The big, big bad offense went into a game you had to win and had 9 points. They wait to lose. The Eagles wait to win. And I think it's such a perfect way to describe where this team is at right now. So I thought a really good description there by Nick. But of course, the reason they're winning right now is not Nick's side of the ball. I know Nick's the head coach, offense, defense, but let's be real, Nick's an offensive head coach. They're winning right now because of the defense. And the defense has been unbelievable, lights out the past 2 weeks. They have shifted from a unit early in the year that we were basically like, they don't have the talent as last year. Like, they are now one of the best units, if not the best unit in the NFL. They are unbelievable. The defensive line once again gets all over Jared Goff. He completes like 30% of his passes. They had him shook. There were times where there were definitely throws open that he missed. And part of that is when you think you're going to get drilled like he was all night, that's really hard. It's really hard to complete passes. The run defense was unbelievable. There were definitely 4 or 5 plays that they let go. But bottom line is this defensive line looks insane. So Jalix Hunt talked after the game about what it feels like to play on a defensive line that's that good and to rotate guys in and out. And here's what he had to say.
We have a lot of fun in practice. We make sure we're enjoying each other's time. Like, we're all close, all front seven. The linebackers, the D-line, we all spend time with each other whenever we can. We go out to eat and whatnot. So it's just having fun with your friends, doing things with the guys. So it's just like we feed off each other's energy. We trust each other way more than a lot of people. And I think that's what's showing up.
Also,
yeah, I mean, you just look at the stats and the defensive line absolutely dominated. They have 5 pass deflections. 5, which is crazy. 2 by Jalen Carter, 3 by Jordan Davis. Both of them have been doing an outstanding job this year, getting their hands up when the ball is thrown and causing havoc that way. Maybe you're not at the quarterback, but frankly, even if you don't win as a pass rusher, getting your hands up and knocking the ball down is like winning, and it can create good things, as we saw with that Cooper DeJean interception where the defense tries to hand the offense a touchdown and they can't get the job done. So the defensive line just dominated the game last night, and they're so deep now. Jalen Phillips, Nolan Smith, Jalix Hunt, Brandon Graham, Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, Moro Ojomo. They got 7 guys on a 4-man unit that you feel really good about. And Brandon, I think, has played well since coming back. So I do include him in that. Josh Uche, at one point, was their best edge rusher. I don't even mention him in my top 7 right now. So their line has really, really changed. And they're a young line too. And I think when he talks about, when Jalix talks about being close and you know, going out to eat, hanging out, you can see that chemistry move over from off the field to on the field. So the defensive line, definitely, definitely a reason to believe. Now, another big part of why they dominated last night was their ability to get off the field. So the Lions go 3-for-13 on third down, but then they go for it 5 times on fourth down, and they go 0-for-5 on fourth down. Nick Sirianni said they view it as the defense going 5-for-5. The Lions won't view it that way. The Lions view it as 0-for-5. And look, I respect Dan Campbell's decision to continually go for it. I like being an aggressive head coach, but man, 0-for-5 on fourth down. Absolutely unbelievable job by the defense. N'Kobe Dean was asked by me, actually. It feels weird to say he was asked as if it wasn't me. But N'Kobe was asked about whether he views that as a challenge, and I think that answer is pretty clear.
For sure. Almost disrespectful. Almost disrespectful. Even if it's not disrespectful for the us, I feel like it's disrespectful to our offense, because it's like, they finna get okay field position, but that's just my defensive mind is, though. I won't really take it, no offense to it. I know what type of people they are. I know what type of team they are over there. And we expected it to be a game like this, so we just had to nut up.
When you have that kind of success.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I don't, you know, I think that Dan Campbell would go for it against almost any defense. But when the defense is dominating like that, the fact that he's still going for it and the fact that he is still saying, I think we can get it, you respect it from a Detroit side, but from an Eagle side, you absolutely should view it as disrespectful. And N'Kobe says in there, it was time to nut up. I don't know if that requires earmuffs. Maybe it does. But N'Kobe has been not the MVP of the defense. Let me not go too far. He's been unbelievable since he's come back. He has added a toughness to the defense. He has played outstanding. I think sometimes with N'Kobe, his off the field is such a plus that we forget how good of just a football player he is. And Nick Sirianni was asked about N'Kobe Dean after the game, and that's how he described him. Here's what he had to say.
On those last 2 defensive drives, N'Kobe had obviously the sack on the blitz and then the 2 plays where he mirrored Jahmyr Gibbs and Jamison Williams. He held up pretty well. What do those moments say about N'Kobe?
Yeah, he's a ball player. That's what I remember, you know, just watching guys play when I was a young kid, watching Southwestern Trojans play football. And like, I can't tell you how many times I've heard my dad or someone say, hey, he's just a good football player. He's just a good football player. I mean, I think of a lot of guys, you know, one guy that keeps coming to my mind right now as I'm talking is Pete Conley, just a good football player. N'Kobe's just a good football player. He prepares his ass off. You can see how much the guys love him out on that field. And we got 3 really good linebackers. And really, I love our entire linebacker group. But just a good football player, because I can't tell you how much respect. I mean, you saw Gibbs out there today. That guy is an explosive playmaker. He is he's electric. He's one of the best backs in the NFL. You know, I'll take Saquon over anybody. But I'm not sure that there's anybody else above him of what I saw in person there today. Because I don't think in 22 he wasn't there. I think 23 was his first year. Yeah, he's electric. He's electric. I got a lot of respect for him.
It's so true. He's just a good football player. You know, going into the game, we were talking on the pregame show about how would Jahad Campbell play way more because of the speed that the Detroit Lions offense has. But N'Kobe was on the field, and N'Kobe made plays all night. N'Kobe went and got a sack, you know, on a blitz to Jared Goff. He's really, really helped. And I think they're going to have to re-sign him. I don't think he's going to cash in big time as a free agent. I think he'll be within their price range. I think he'll want to stay with all his Georgia guys. And they should re-sign him. I hope they do. Him coming off of that surgery, the rehab he did to get back, really one of the feel-good stories of the NFL. And actually, I think he should win Comeback Player of the Year if he keeps playing at this level the rest of the way. So, yeah, I mean, Nick, you can just hear the way Nick talks about it. And you hear the respect Nick has for N'Kobe. He's just like a good football player. You put him out there, he'll make plays, and that's what he's been doing. So just another outstanding performance by the defense, a dominating performance. And we'll talk about it throughout the week, but as you know, normally when they go to Dallas, I expect them to give up a lot of points. At this point, I think the defense is just going to be lights out the rest of the year. And that's because of the defensive line. That's because N'Kobe Dean, Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, Adoree Jackson's played well. I think you should all feel really, really good about where the defense is at. But, of course, the game was not without controversy as Nick Sirianni made a decision late in the game that people are going to be talking about. So Nick Sirianni, I believe the Eagles were on their own 35-ish. I think they were around there, up 10, only a few minutes to go. Nick decides to go for it on fourth and one. So they're not 35 yards to the end zone like they were last week against Green Bay. They're 35 yards or whatever it was from their own end zone. So in a 10-point game where Detroit is looking to finally get some points on the board, they only had 6 points. Nick decides to go for it on fourth and one. I thought it was a really bad decision. I normally defend Nick being aggressive. Last week, I like being aggressive, but there is a line, even for me, where you have to punt that ball. The defense has been outstanding, and the chances the Lions get in the red zone are pretty slim. To gift them the ball almost in the red zone, you're basically making it a one-possession game by not getting it. So Nick Nick talked about why he went for it, and here's what he had to say.
The defense played awesome. I got a ton of confidence in my guys and our guys to go out and execute. Obviously, you know, I'm going to be second guessing myself about the fourth and one in our own territory there. But awesome job by the defense holding them to three there. You know, we got about half of it the play before. I thought we could get the other half right there. We didn't. So I have to live with that. When we don't execute on fourth down, I again have a ton of confidence in our guys to be able to do so. If you don't have the confidence, I don't care what numbers say what, you know, you don't go for it there. But I had a lot of confidence and it didn't work. So anytime it doesn't work in a fourth down situation, I'm always going to be hypercritical of myself because it's on me making that decision. And I'll go back and look at it. And you know, hey, it didn't work. So obviously when I'm sitting here right now, I'm like, well, I should have punted it there. If it works, you're able to either drain their timeouts there or take another 2 minutes off the clock. But in that case, it didn't work. And I gave them a short field right there. So that's 100% on me.
So I get that it's the tush push and you convert it at a high rate, but the tush push has not been as effective this year. It's been good, but it has not been when they line up, they're definitely going to get it. There's penalties. There's a turnover on the offensive line. They're not getting the same push they are. They didn't get it last night. Like, they straight up got stopped on it. So Nick was asked about the tush pushes this year and more so last night. And here's what Nick had to say.
If we would have got pushed back, you know, I'm assuming you're speaking of the fourth down one that we didn't get. If we would have got pushed back there and not moved the ball forward, you know, because it was a full one. I felt like we moved it to about half a one. And then just didn't get enough on that next one. Again, you got to give them a lot of credit right there. But I do have utmost, you know, you think about how it plays in game, but you also think about your past experiences. Everything's taken into account. But you definitely, you know, like you definitely think about how it's playing in game. I felt like it just wasn't, you know, we had the one false start. And so you had the one in the red zone. We had the false start early, what they called. And then we had the one in the red zone that we got great push. And then we got about half of it on the fourth down one. And then we just weren't successful on the other one. Again, anytime we don't get a fourth down conversion, I'm always going to put that on myself. I'm always going to be hypercritical of myself. And obviously, you know, had I known we wouldn't get it, I would have punted it. But obviously, you know, the game's not played that way and have a ton of confidence in it. But, you know, we'll go back and see what happened and why it happened.
Yeah, I agree. They've not been good enough this year. Well, that's not really what he said, so I wouldn't say I agree. They have not been good enough on the tush push this year. And I think that has to factor in when you're considering going for it on fourth down. I know that the tush push is viewed as an automatic play. It's not been an automatic play this year. So I disagreed with the decision. Nick, it sounds to me like regrets the decision. I think he probably got a little too aggressive there. I think next time in a similar spot, he will punt the ball away and that'll be the right decision. So the other play that was noteworthy was the Tyler Steen offsides. So this was a play where I think it was fourth down or third down, third and one. They get kicked back 5 yards. Ton of self-inflicted wounds by the offense yet again, which is really concerning to see. Their inability to not shoot themselves in the foot consistently is definitely alarming, as the postseason is not that far away now. So Nick was asked about the Tyler Steen's offside. If you remember, the Lions defensive lineman's hand looked like it might have been in the neutral zone. As a result, Tyler Steen starts to like hit the hand and then goes, thinking that he can draw an offsides. Nick was asked about it, and here's what he had to say.
Did you get an explanation on why it was a false start on Tyler Steen instead of a neutral zone?
Yeah, you know, when I thought that the guy got himself into the neutral zone off of a hard count, and I guess he was lined up there initially, which would have ended up being a penalty had we snapped it. But, you know, we reacted there. You know what? In that scenario, and we ended up having to punt on fourth and six. In that scenario, I'm not sure I prepared Tyler the best I could possibly prepare him for. Again, I thought that he jumped in there, but he was apparently lined up in there. And if he's lined up in there and then you reach out and touch him, which we, you know, anytime there's a false start or an offsides, we teach our guys to reach out and touch. You know, we had one last week, if you remember, but he didn't get into the neutral zone and we ended up getting a penalty on it. We're hyper aggressive with that to try to get the free 5 yards. But I didn't realize, you know, again, I don't think I prepared Tyler well enough, or Tyler may not have seen him in the neutral zone to begin with, because I don't ever recall going over that rule with him, that if he's in the neutral zone and then you react, then, you know, that's a false start on us. So I don't think I did a good enough job preparing him in that scenario. I
thought that was a good answer from Nick in terms of just flat out being like, I didn't prepare him well enough in that spot. And for a head coach that really focuses on the details and the little things, he's right. Like that, I thought Steen, like that was a bad play by Steen, but it looked like he was trying to do something there that he is coached to do. I know the tush push is not on Mac. We just talked about it. But in that instance, I think you're trying so hard to draw the penalty, you leave yourself up to interpretation from the refs. So I didn't like Tyler Steen doing it, but I did think Nick explained well about, you know, why it happened. So on the other side, we're going to get into the offensive struggles, because boy, oh boy, were there some offensive struggles. So that'll be on the other side. But first, a word from our sponsors.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide, plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
So, the offense, not great last night. Now, I think there's a few reasons why the offense wasn't great. One was the offensive line, yet again, didn't have all five starters for the full game. So that was definitely part of it. I also didn't like that they felt to be forcing the ball to A.J. Brown. And the Eagles will tell you that they didn't. I asked Nick afterwards, and he said that's just kind of how the game expressed itself to an extent. He did say they start every single game trying to figure out a way to get A.J. Brown the ball. He said he always says it starts with A.J., it starts with Devontae and Dallas. Like, the passing game runs through them. But A.J. had 11 targets, and he totaled 49 yards on those targets. He had a long of 12. It didn't work. I just don't think A.J.'s game is what they were trying to do last night. Short passes, trying to get him in space. Like, he's not that elusive. So I thought the forcing of the ball to him wasn't good. Now, he also had two plays that were, I wouldn't say controversial, but are certainly noteworthy. One is the pass interference that he drew at the end of the game. Man, they dodged a bullet there. I thought live it wasn't a great call. You watch the replay of that call. Eagles fans would be furious if they got called for that. So I thought they lucked out there. Once again, AJ, not a ton of separation on that play. And then there was the deep play down the left sideline from Jalen to AJ, where it looks like the ball is maybe overthrown, but there's a lot of talk about AJ not maybe giving 100% effort there. So here is AJ's full press conference. I thought he was in good spirits. So it's like 4 or 5 minutes, but I think everything AJ says is noteworthy. So instead of playing like 4 or 5 of the 7 answers, I'll just play it all for you guys so you guys can hear and get your own interpretation of it. So here is AJ Brown's media availability after the game.
AJ, another week where you guys find a way to win against a really quality opponent. What's it say about the team that you guys have now beat? I mean, pretty much every great team you've gone against this year.
Form, please, form.
This team is resilient. You know, this team will show up and work hard and fight, find a way, no matter what that looks like, you know.
So, what did you think of the pass interference call?
Needed one. You know, there was Leonard's play today. You know, that's something that I have to be better with. It's tough when you're getting grabbed and you can hold, but you know, the ref's Leonard's playing through it. And like I said, I got to do a better job. And you know, I hang my hat on being physical, so sure, I just got to do what I got to do.
And AJ, this team just knocked off one of the best teams in the NFC 2 weeks in a row. When you look back at the season, what do you see? How is this team continuing to get it done?
back to that word being resilient. You know, one thing, we're going to show up, we're going to fight. And, either special teams or defense or offense, you know, it's a team game. And, you know, somebody's picking up one another. So.
I know you look at it from your vantage point. You talked about this last week about, you know, wanting to have, you know, an impact and help and have the offense win and not always leave it on the defense. But when you have a defense that's good, yeah. I mean,
I help.
Can you just yeah. ride this thing yeah. out this way with just the defense?
You know, we want them to continue to play at a high level. We still just got to do a better job on offense and get our stuff going. You know, I think it's a lot of room for improvement, a lot of self-inflicted wounds. So, yeah, hats off to the defense because they are playing their best.
AJ, there was a deep shot late from Jalen to you down the, I think it was down the sideline. What happened on that play?
Constant hand fighting down the field. Just missed, you know. Not just saying he missed, but like we just missed.
How much does the weather?
I couldn't get to it.
Sorry. How much does the weather truly affect?
It don't.
So the wind wasn't a factor anymore?
No, it was times the wind did just pick up out of nowhere. But I think for the most part, we did a good job of trying to handle that.
What do you think were some of the issues getting the offense going?
Self-inflicted. I think as soon as we got going, we shot ourselves in the foot. Yeah, that's something that we could clean up. And somebody just beat us, and that's on them. But, you know, it's some things that we are doing.
A few reports that you and Jeffrey spoke on Thursday. What can you tell us about that meeting?
Keep that between me and him.
AJ, how are you balancing this team with 8 wins, top of the NFC, but you talk about this offense not getting where it wants to be quite yet, a work in progress. How do you balance celebrating the win with knowing there's still stuff out there on this offense?
I've always been optimistic. I think it's things that we can always look at and try to get better at, and things that we can be happy about. But you know, we're in the business of trying to get better. And so it's not that we're just moping around. You know, we're excited. The guys are just in here dancing. I mean, because I can't dance. But we're just going to try to just go back to work and just fix the things that we need to get better.
AJ, did you see signs of, like, the offense kind of coming together?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, it was just self-inflicted. You know, it was just, you know, we got going. And something will happen, you know, behind the scenes. So that's something that we can clean up. Like I said, if they beat us.
The ball found its way to you, I guess, 12 targets, including the penalty. And yet, you know, you guys still only scored a certain amount of points. I mean, how do you kind of, reconcile that, you know, that you got your targets, but the offense still didn't kind of deliver the way you wanted to?
It wasn't about targets last week or the week before.
Production.
It wasn't about that at all. It was me trying to help and contribute. That's all. And regardless of what that looked like, in phases, you know, I think I did, but like I said, it's a lot of stuff that we as offense and me myself need to continue to get better. So
there were some manufactured touches for you in this game as well. Do you feel like that was a step in the right direction?
Yeah, sure.
As you look big picture, 8-2 with wins over playoff caliber teams, what do you make of where the team is right now?
Every game is winnable. You know, we're a confident team. You know, regardless of some struggles here and there, but we're confident and we're going to step up to the plate to that challenge and, you know, try to get a win against whoever.
Can you tell us about how Nick has handled, you know, the changes, the way this team has evolved and still yet you guys here, you are 8-2?
It's always preaching just get better. You know, and that's on all three phases.
So I thought there were a few noteworthy things in there. First of all, he says it's not about the targets. I do actually believe him on that. I think it's more about just being involved in a positive way than being like, I need 11 targets, because they were not high quality targets tonight. They were not really chances for him to make big plays. I think he'd prefer 4 targets, but he's open, he's down the field, he makes big plays. The 11 targets tonight couldn't have been fun. I mean, it was not a productive game for AJ, even though he got the 11 targets. So I agree with him on that. I thought what he said about the play down the field, and I kind of talked to him a little bit afterwards about this too. Like, my understanding of what he thinks is that running down the field, there was a lot of hand checking and like holding, and that slowed him up. I haven't had a chance to watch a replay close enough to see that, but I could see it. And if he says it, I believe him. Again, he's a late hands guy. So sometimes when the ball is sailing over him, you see his hands don't go up. It's because he just doesn't like to put his hands up until late. So the defender doesn't think it's coming. But it's been a lot of plays this year about where there's been questions about if he's running as hard as he can. And sooner or later, like, something has to change, because it was a play against Denver. His effort was called into question against the in that Packers play last week, and I didn't think it should be, but his effort was called into question. And if everyone watching live thinks you're not giving 100%, there has to be some truth to it, in my opinion. So disappointing that that was how that play went. I do think the play was overthrown still. But yeah, I think, you know, his explanation of it, while good, I do think there's starting to be questions about AJ's effort on a pub on like a broader scale. And that's not where AJ wants to. I mean, you know, that's not what he wants. He's a guy that works hard. So we'll see in this next game and the rest of the season if there's any more kind of incidents like this. But bottom line, the offense was not good enough. They now have 26 points over the last two games. It is worth noting that that part of the reason, in my opinion, for that is the cold. And I know that sounds like a cop-out, but it's just the truth. It was super cold and windy in Green Bay. It was super cold and windy last night. The other offense, the Lions offense, now the Eagles defense deserves credit for it, but the Lions offense has been one of the best offenses in the league over the past few years. And they themselves only had 9 points last night, were basically gifted three of them by that Sirianni decision. So Nick was asked about the offensive struggles, and here's what he had to say.
Yeah, obviously we want to be better than what we were tonight, but every game's played a little bit different. Like, the way the game is played sometimes is dictated of what's happening in the game, right? Make no mistake about it, our goal in every single game is to come out with a win, period. Right. And so sometimes the game's played a little bit differently in that. And we're able to get a 10-point lead. And so every game is played to win. But do we have to clean up things on offense? Of course we do. We're gonna have to clean up it. As good as the defense played, we're gonna have to clean up things on defense. As good as the special teams played, we're gonna have to clean up things on special teams. There's some shooting ourselves in the foot that's happening. And some of those things are things that, you know, we always talk about takes no talent, right? And when we have such good talent that we have to be able to master the things that take no talent so our talent can shine.
Yeah. I mean, they know it's not good enough. Jalen Hurts was asked about the offensive struggles, and here's what Jalen had to say about it.
What are your main takeaways from the offensive performance tonight?
My main takeaways is, we got to score points. We got to be more efficient. We got to take advantage of opportunities when they're there. And we got to control the things that we can control. It's the same MO it's been this whole entire time.
Jalen, how much do you feel like the last 2 weeks struggles on offense have been about the defense you've been facing, how much have been about you guys yourselves?
Always going to give a lot of respect to the opponent we play. It's always going to come down to us and what we do. And so we have to do a bit of identifying of who we are so we can find consistency in something and go out there and execute at a high level. You know, I think there's a lot of encouragement coming into the bye week on where we were, still with a ton of room to improve. But you know what I feel about momentum. You know, it can begin and end at any moment. But as I told you guys last week, is it half full or half empty? And you know, everybody's got to be all hands on deck and trying to improve that. You know, nothing takes over the precedent of winning. That's what it's all about. And with winning in mind and with winning being the number one thing, that doesn't dismiss that, you know, we got some work to do and we need to improve. So it's a collective. Takes everybody being on the same page. Takes everybody being truly committed to winning and winning itself and not being any butts behind it.
Playoff type atmospheres. Did you read into that when you were able to win in these settings?
Absolutely. Not necessarily reading into it, but it's something that you feel. It's something you you sense from as a team that you're being tested on these things. And so, you know, how we went out there and found a way to win, a lot of those games are like that. And I think the most important thing is just staying together throughout the journey of it.
Last one. Jalen, your team is 6-1, I think, against playoff teams from last year. To be 8-2 at this point, given the strength of the schedule, what does that mean to you? And
talking about like the level of competition we played.
Yeah, I mean, you played 7 teams that were in the playoffs last year, and you're 6-1 against them. I mean, does it inspire more confidence in what this team is doing, or what does it mean to be 8-2, given that schedule?
I think it could, you know, being considering that you face some really good opponents and you know what they're capable of on that side of the ball. I think in the end, it's always going to come down to what do you do, and holding yourself to a standard and, you know, looking yourself in the mirror on those things. So it all starts internal. It all starts internal, and that's every individual themselves, and then that's as a team collectively. So I don't want to make it too much about the opponent. We just have to look in and grow ourselves.
So here's my thing on the offense. I think that there's still reason to believe that when it matters, when they need to score, and what I mean by this is a playoff game, they're down 4 points. They have the ball. It's the fourth quarter. I still think there is a lot of reason to believe they will come through and score. Like, I don't think it's coincidence that last night, after the Lions score a touchdown and should have taken the lead but didn't because of the missed extra point, Eagles go right down the field and score. There is something about them that when they need it, they get it. But the offense looks bad. And that falls on Nick. It falls on Kevin Petullo. It falls on Jalen Hurts. But to me, the biggest problem with this offense right now is maybe the players at the skill positions are not as good as we think. And you can say that's an overreaction Monday. Maybe by Wednesday, I'll feel differently. Maybe they'll put up 40 points next week and I'll feel silly about it. But if you just drop someone in the stadium last night and said, watch this football game, I think they would come away saying Jahmyr Gibbs and Williams are way better than any other offensive player on the field. When they have the ball, the difference in the explosiveness and the difference in the danger that they have feels way different than when the Eagles players have the ball. And part of that, I know, is getting in space and, you know, play calling, but the Eagles defense dominated. So it wasn't like they had a ton of room. But do we think A.J. Brown scores on that catch that Williams got? I don't think so. Do we think Saquon has that acceleration that Jahmyr Gibbs has? I don't think so. So I think everything with the Eagles offense this year is slow. The players are slow. They get to the ball slow. The ball is snapped late, which makes me think the play call is getting in slow. They just don't have an explosiveness to them. They have looked tired and like worn down, I think, all year. And you could say, well, the defense should too, right? Coming off the Super Bowl. But the defense has a lot of guys playing that didn't really play last year. Jalen Phillips didn't play for the Eagles. Moro Ojomo didn't play as many snaps as he is this year. Jalix Hunt didn't play as many snaps as he did last year. These guys did not play as much last year as the offensive guys did, right? Jalix Hunt, Moro Ojomo, Jalen Phillips, Adoree Jackson wasn't here. Jahad Campbell wasn't on the team. Andrew Mukuba wasn't on the team. So on defense, they've had a lot of turnover. And I think the guys that would feel like a quote-unquote Super Bowl hangover physically are not really here. Whereas on the offensive side of the ball, they got the same guys. Of the 11 starters, it's the same 11 other than Mekhi Becton. And so you see the offensive line look worn down. You see the offensive playmakers look worn down. So I think the biggest issue they are dealing with right now on offense is they're just slow. And they look tired. And it's on the offensive coordinator and Nick to find a way to still make the ball move. It is on Jalen as the quarterback to make that happen. But I think that there is a perception that they have so much talent, they should be scoring so many points. I don't know if I feel that way about the offense right now. The offensive line last night at one point was missing two of its five starters. It had Fred Johnson and Brett Toth. High-level backups, but backups. The offensive skill players, AJ looks slow. Saquon looks slow. Devontae's not slow. But Dallas Goedert, for as good of a player as he is, his game is not like breakaway speed. So I think the perception that they have all this talent on offense and they're underperforming, it's probably still true. But maybe we need to look at this differently than we have in the past. Like, the Lions' offensive skill players are better than the Eagles' offensive skill players. And the good news is the Eagles' defense stepped up and dominated, and so it didn't matter. But I think it's tougher for this team to score than we're making it seem like. I don't think that Petullo and Nick are holding them back. They're certainly not propping them up. But maybe it's tougher to get these guys open than we think. They went into the game last night, obviously trying to get AJ the ball, and it did not go well. He didn't create separation. He didn't break tackles. He wasn't like flying all over the field. So do I think the offense will be better as the year goes on? Sure, because I think as the games matter more, they'll make more plays. But I don't expect this to be an offense where they're scoring in the 30s five straight games. I think it's going to be a slog all year. But with the number one seed likely going to be with the Eagles, right? With the games in Philly, with the defense they have, and with the clutch gene that we know this team has, again, waiting to win, not waiting to lose, I think they'll make plays when it matters, but I don't think we're going to get many games the rest of the year that are like, look at this team go. Look how awesome Saquon is. Look how awesome AJ is. I think it's going to be ugly the rest of the year. But the good news is, like I started the pod with, the Eagles ugly would be a level of beautiful other teams just simply will never be able to reach. So that'll do it for today's daily podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening. Going to be an exciting week. As James says, it's Cowboys week. I can't say it like James. No one talks about Cowboys week like James does. But that'll do it. Go out. Enjoy your day. As always, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide, plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.